Hello, I am Ezekiel McAdams, and welcome to the third episode of the Saskatoon Fringe 2016 podcast. Today is Friday morning. My apologies for not having a podcast out last night. Work intervened, as it often does. So it is now 8:56 in the morning on Friday the 29th. I can't believe that July is almost over, but it is. And yesterday was the first official day of Fringe, and it was exciting. Like, Fringe is it's just such an event for me, because like, I love theater, and so to have a week full of live theater where all these performers, sometimes from across the world, we've had people from South Africa, we've had people from England, we've had people from New Zealand, we've had the UK, it's insane. And of course, you know, various provinces, various states. And what's really neat is that for this week, this kind of like cavalcade of personalities invade Saskatoon Broadway district. And it's just a treat. Like, there's no other word to describe it other than it is just a treat to have these lovely people. And I was able to meet lovely performers yesterday. I got to see some shows. So I saw two, I guess they're kind of like advertised as like the kids' Fringe shows. But yesterday I saw Hubby in Distress from my very own city, Saskatoon, Orange Jacket Theater. It was really interesting. It was about two narrators who were telling a story. There was a female narrator and a male narrator. And the male narrator had that very, like, stereotypical ideal of manliness and what makes a man. And he's like, his character was Frank Strong, and Frank was just going to save the day. And then his girlfriend, of course, was the stereotypical damsel in distress. And the female narrator is like, hey, we've had enough of this, and we're just going to flip this script. And so she makes the damsel the hero, and the hero the damsel. It was really cool, and kind of woven underneath this very absurd, over the top kids show was something that just had a lot of heart and a lot of ideals. I really like stuff that kind of speaks to the audience without really kind of going over the top and like beating their heads into it. And because it was kids, I don't think the kids would have really understood the importance of it, but it was just really, really nice. And so I loved the message behind Hubby in Distress. And I have to give a special shout out to one of the performers, F. David Schultz, because he played the villain Charles Sneed. It is the only name, unfortunately, that I will ever remember about Hubby in Distress, because they say it like six times during the show. Well, no, more than that. Like, he talks in the third person, so probably if I had to have a counter, it would at least be 25. I would say 25 and over at least. And it was like, Charles Sneed! Yeah, and he was just great. David is just wonderful. He was the MVP of that show. Like, if anything, Hubby in Distress needed more Charles Sneed. And I gotta tell you, I got to see the show with a full, like, packed audience of kids. And every time David showed up and went into his bombastic, over-the-top portrayal of Charles Sneed, the kids ate it up with a spoon. Like, I am telling you, they loved it. I loved it. Not to say that the other actors weren't great. They were good. But David Schultz stole the show. And honestly, if you wanted to make a kids fringe show, Orange Jacket Theater, next year, I would just make the Charles Sneed story. That's what I would do. You know, hint, hint, wink, wink. So that was that. Then I saw The Fabulist, and The Fabulist is done by musician Jeffrey Popiel, who plays in Saskatoon band Minor Matter. And if you had listened to the podcast yesterday, I was a little wary. Just because of bias, because it's always hard when I have friends in fringe shows, because I'm reviewing them as well, and it's like, well, what if it sucks? And it's like, you know, then I always kind of had that like awkward, you know, conversation with the friends, or the preface, where it's like, hey, you know, like, the friendship's intact, right? Like, for realsies, it's good? Okay. But Jeffrey is doing a rendition of Aesop's Fables, and he's doing it in his very kind of folksy manner, because Jeffrey does, you know, he's kind of, he's a folk music singer. So it was very, and Jeffrey has delightful cadence and demeanor. I think I probably mentioned this in the last podcast, but he really does. Like, as someone who knows him personally, and then someone who's just seen his stage material, and I'm sure that Jeffrey is listening to this. Hello, Jeffrey. It was really, really good. Like, I'd like to say that if I didn't know Jeffrey Popiel, I would recommend this show as highly as I'm doing. I just really enjoyed it. I love the setup. I love when theater does something different, and I can't think of a show in recent memory where a man sings Aesop's Fables, done to folk music, and he's got animal masks. Like, he's got animal masks that are kind of propped up on the mic stand, and then at various parts he'll just change the pitch of his voice and go into it. And it was really cool, because like Hubby in Distress, I got to see him talking to the kids. The kids were also in the audience for the Fabulist. And it was just really delightful, just hearing like some of the kids' answers. Like, there was one of the fables was about the moon's mom and sewing a dress and everything. And he's like, well, what came first? And the kids are like, the sun. And the sun is like 5 years old or something like that. Like, it was just really, I adore children so much. And it was just awesome. I'm going to use the word treat again, but it was a treat. It was a treat to see the two shows with the kids' audience. I'm curious to see it with adults. Like, I'd like to go back to both and see it on like a more normal day where the kids aren't there, just to see what the reception is like. Because I really think, especially for Hubby in Distress, like, the kids ate up, like, the villain Charles Sneed. So, and I'm curious. How the adults will react to Jeffrey Popiel's Aesop's Fables, because I loved it. And so that was that. In the evening, I saw the famous Heydell Sisters comeback tour, and that is done by Bowman and Yarborough, and they are from Portland, Oregon. This show was really great. So here's my preface. I'm not really a big fan of country music. Actually, for the longest time, it was the one genre of music I despise. Like, every time I heard it on the radio, I was like, next channel. I don't even care if it's like, you know, whales like singing. I just can't stand country music. No offense to the country music people. I like it now. I have an affection for it now. But I moved to a small town, and they like their country music. So I gained a lot of affection and affinity for country music, but I'm still not the biggest fan. But anyways, so the famous Heydell Sisters is about these two sisters, Maybelle and Maddie, and they were kind of really big in the country music scene in the 90s, and then they kind of part ways, and then they're back, and it's, the show is kind of intermixed with a lot of exposition about kind of, you know, the sisters and their family life and their background and why they split up and da-da-da, intermixed in the songs they're singing to the audience at said comeback tour. The actors involved, Sadie and Donna Kay, were amazing. Like, I loved Sadie's, and I hope it's the right character's name, Maybelle. I think Maybelle was the younger one. Because she would do this thing where she would like get upset about something, and then because of the audience, she would just completely turn her face and like smile, like, you know, like, just with, you know, it was just great, just the facial expressions and the character work they had done on the characters, and they played it really straight. That's what made it funny. Like, you had these lyrics that were like chock full of like innuendo and double entendres, and they played it so straight, and then they'd snipe back and forth because it would be telling like this little anecdote, and then they would like, it would bring up something like Maybelle was like in love with like Lyle Lovett, and there was this joke, like running joke, that he had a restraining order against her and stuff like that, and that's usually when she'd like turn the face, like Maybelle and Maddie would be arguing about something, and then Maybelle would be like, you know, and this is totally like put on the front because she's, you know, and it was just awesome. And then Donna Kay is Maddie, who is like the conspiracy theorist against the government. And I don't know if you've met these people, but I've met these people, and Donna Kay nailed it. She nailed it. It felt so real, and it was just really, really funny. Like, the lyrics were good. The dynamic between the two actors and the characters that they created was just great. Like, it was just one of those shows that was just really funny, and you walked away with a big giant smile on your face. And like, I felt so blessed, and I don't like to use this term a lot, but blessed yesterday is that the shows that I got to see at the Fringe just were delightful. And maybe it's just because I'm an easy reviewer, and I was just so excited to be back at the Fringe and have live theater again, but it was a really good day. I'm really hoping that today is just as good. Knock on wood. Finally, I saw Diamond Girls, and the Diamond Girls is about women from various Saskatchewan towns in the 40s during World War II, and they formed the All-American Women's Baseball League, you know, in the States. And so they went and played baseball, kind of like if you watch A League of Their Own, the 1992 movie with like Gina Davis and Madonna and Lori Petty. Definitely got to give a shout out to Lori Petty because she's awesome in that movie. I just saw it for the first time. It was really, really good. The actor whose name I am forgetting, and I am terrible. Just give me 2 seconds to see if I can actually find it. I cannot. And I don't want to say the wrong name, so I'm just going to say she was amazing. And she played 22 different characters. She alternated between male and female because she would play some of the bosses of the league. And she was great. It was just like, it was effortlessly how she like was able to alternate back in the other characters, and even without her giving cues to who the character she was playing, you knew because of like facial expressions, character ticks. Like, she just did a really, 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 really good job. And it's just killing me right now that I forget her name, because she was great. So that is what I saw at the Fringe yesterday. In terms of audience response, it was the first day of the Fringe. It's not the weekend. It was pretty good. So usually when the Fringe gets going, you have like 5 different venues around Broadway. Like, you've got the Broadway Theater, you've got the Cosmos Center, you've got Victoria School, like, gym, and then the upstairs, and then you've got the sometimes the Refinery, not this year. There's a couple venues at Grace Westminster Church. And then you've got the buskers and the food trucks and the kind of the booths set around. So I have a friend, Audra Ballion. Hello, Audra. I'm giving you a shout out. And Audra is a wonderful artist. She drew me a little badger that's still sitting on my fridge. And she was out yesterday selling her wares, and it was really cool. So Audra is just one of many, and so there's everything from art to jewelry to face painting to just trying to think what else they have. It really they really have a lot. There's jewelry, there's clothes that you can buy. It's just really neat. And so it takes over Broadway. That's the amazing thing with the Fringe. Like, you've got the Fringe festivals that are the kind of the draw of it, but then you've got the buskers that are all around Broadway that are singing, that are performing, doing magic tricks, and then you've got the food trucks. And so in Saskatoon, over the last, I want to say, 3.5 years, we've really stepped up our food trucks. It went from like 1 or 2 to now we have like, I think, 20. I honestly and shamefully have not been to most of them. I'd like to, but I haven't. If you would like to have it, you know. So there's just so many of them, and they're like delightful. And then the artists and stuff, like my friend Audra. Like, it's just a really great time. And so I'm excited to see what today is going to bring, because as of 7:30 this morning, it's kind of raining lightly. So we're having a little bit of light rain. I am seeing the last Kids Fringe show, which is Rat Tales by Shadow... I think it's Shadow Players. Give me 2 seconds. Fringe, it all kind of blurs together. Yes, it is by Shadow Players Kids. So I'm seeing that, and then I have not decided if I'm going to see Falling Awake tonight, or if I'm going to Jamesy in the Dark, but I will most likely be seeing Peach and Charlatan later tonight. Peach is written by my good friend Daniel Roy. Shout out to Daniel Roy. I'm really excited for her. She's been working on this for a long time. The preview night was interesting. It was just it looked like a one-woman show. I've specifically asked Daniel not to tell me anything about the show because I want to kind of go in blind. But so yeah, so that's the plan, to either see James and Jamesy or the Peach or Charlatan. Trying to think. Speaking of shows that have gotten really good reviews, I have not seen Bushel and Peck, but I've heard from two people that I trust that it's David Lynch-esque. And I love David Lynch. I love Twin Peaks. So there's that is really good. I would recommend the Haydale Sisters. I would recommend Diamond Girls, whether you like sports. It's such a good story. So yeah, we're wrapping up at about 17 minutes here, so I'm going to let you guys go. Again, my name is Ezekiel McAdams, and I am reviewing The Fringe this year for Planet S. And I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day. Bye.